You timed that perfectly, Kevin.
That was well timed. Did it sound like Jill Egan had to look at her name tag at some point there at the end? It did, right?
A little bit. Can I talk to you about an argument that I've had with myself and with many others for years? You've run across people who say, oh, you're the creative type, and then they look at someone else and say, oh, you're much more analytical.
Yeah.
I think we're all creative, and I think we can all tap into our creativity. So on the line with us right now, professor and the chair of Notre Dame's Department of Anthropology, also a National Geographic explorer, Augustine Fuentes. How are you, sir?
I am well. Thanks for having me.
Are you creative? Because I hate when people say you're either creative or analytical.
You can be both.
You are both. We all are both. We're all creative. We have a creative spark. We have this capacity to create and to imagine, to go between what is and what could be. That's what it is to be human.
The book is called The Creative Spark, and in it you talk about our ancestors, the hunters, the gatherers. How did creativity work with them?
Well, about 2 million years ago, at the beginning of our lineage, our ancestors were a group of short, hairless, fangless, hornless, clawless primates. And
they were
hot. A lot
hot.
Of things on the landscape. Yeah. A lot of things out there that wanted to eat them. What did they have? They had some sticks and stones, and they had each other. And it was that capacity to sort of work together to creatively manipulate the world around them and working with one another that got them to where we are today. The ability to make stone tools is the ancestor of today's iPhones and 747 airliners.
So why is it some people seem to have more of a flair for creativity? If this is constantly evolving, wouldn't we all be sort of equal or not?
Well, it depends on how you grow up. It depends on what opportunities you have. Creativity is all about ideas, experiences, and imagination. Some people that flourishes and other people it doesn't. It really depends on what the outlet is. Usually as adults, we dampen that down. Kids go wild with their imagination. But for some reason, the older we get, the less we value it. And, you know, maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we should let it go a little wilder.
I will admit that, you know, I'm the youngest of three kids, and I gave my mom more headaches and heartaches than the other two kids.
Mm-hmm.
But she never really tried to squash my creativity. She would fight with me about it a little bit, mm-hmm. but I knew in eighth grade I wanted to be in radio and maybe, you know, going to college for 4 years and getting straight A's was not something that would benefit me. And she gave me a little pushback, but she kind of let me be who I was, which I think helped me in the long run.
Absolutely. I think we got to recognize that we do creative stuff every day, whether it's in the artist studio or the restaurant kitchen or the mechanic's garage or the corner cubicle. Heck, even trying to figure out how to make a small paycheck last until the end of the month. That's actually really creative. We don't give ourselves enough credit, and we only think of sort of great celebrities or artists. But every one of us, day in and day out, is usually doing something that's pretty darn creative.
So how do we not lose what you just discussed a little while ago? When you're a kid, you're an astronaut one day, you're playing Cowboys and Indians the next day, you're a soldier the next day. Why does that have to go away? Is there some way to retain some part of that into our adulthood?
Yeah, I mean, part of it is we have to go to work, we have to make a living, so we tend to think that that's instead of the creativity and the imagination, but it's not. If we recognize how creative we are every day, even at work, that's one step. But we can do other things, like, you know, making a meal and recognizing how creative that is. We can work or strategize with others to do something, do art, go see a play, go to a game, listen to something, hang out with our friends. All of those things actually are part of this creative process. And if we don't divide creativity from our daily life, but actually recognize how important it is in our daily life, that's one of the first steps. If we can do that, we're at least a little more open to being a little bit more creative.
I have a theory, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. Augustine Fuentes on the line with us. The book is called The Creative Spark. I do know people that are very high-strung and are afraid of failure. And in my experiences, sometimes when you try something creative, there's going to be failure involved, but I'm not really afraid to fail because you just pick yourself up and try it again, or you laugh at yourself. But does the fear of failure sometimes squash our creativity?
In our society today, we knock people down for failing. One of the problems is you can't be creative without failure. Ask any major athlete, actor, politician, anyone famous, did they have more failure or more success? And they're going to tell you more failure. You don't get anywhere without failure, and creativity in particular. If you look at the last 2 million years of our history, most of our lineage's really innovative events have been failures. But there were enough successes, and down the road, here we are. And, you know, we're doing okay. And so I think we really need to recognize that failure is a critical part of our creativity and not play it down, but play it up and recognize we learn from it. Like you said, you pick yourself back up, but the next time you don't make that same mistake.
I know we just have a couple of minutes left with you. Bill, did you have a question?
Yeah, I wanted to know if you thought creativity was contagious. I know there's times where if you're working around other people that are highly creative, you almost feel like you got to carry your own weight and provide some creativity yourself. Do you think that's a little bit true?
Yeah, no, not only is it true, we're wired that way. Watching other people do art, do on radio, do technological things, do carpentry, make a meal, that actually stimulates stuff in our brain that sort of kicks in that sort of joining mentality. And so, yeah, it is absolutely contagious. And we actually frequently do creativity better in collaboration than we do alone. So creativity is contagious, and it's actually something that does our minds and bodies good.
What's the one thing we can do, or top three things we can do to make ourselves more creative?
Don't give up on the arts and sports. Do something outside of your daily life and work. That's one thing. Another thing is give yourself credit for being creative. When you solve a problem imaginatively, give yourself credit and recognize it. And finally, I'm going to say cooking a meal again, or eating a meal. Go out and recognize that our ancestors spent 2 million years developing how to hunt down large animals and dig out complex plants and build fires and all of that. And don't take it for granted. Recognize the amazing diversity of food we have out there, the creativity involved in it, and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, they couldn't subscribe to Blue Apron or Fresh Chef or whatever that's called, where they had a delivery system with all the goods in it. Well, thank you so much. The Creative Spark is available everywhere your favorite books are sold.
Yep, and the audiobook as well.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Augustine Fuentes, The Creative Spark.
Thank you, Augustine.
Oh, he's out of here.
He already left.
He's on to
other creative ventures, Wendy. He can't just linger.
But
there's no lingering creativity.
Don't you think sometimes when you're afraid, because I'm thinking of David Ross on Dancing with the Stars. And I heard an interview with him who said, you know, you got to go out of your comfort zone every once in a while.
Sure.
And I hear he did a pretty good job on Dancing with the Stars.
I don't watch the show.
I've never watched it.
Don't feel bad. I've only come across it accidentally if I'm flipping around to see if something else is on, and I go, oh, there's something that's not for me.
Did anybody watch Gramps on Grandpa Ross? What do we call him?
Yesterday was also his birthday, right? I think it was his birthday yesterday, too.
I know they Skyped in with some of his teammates, Anthony Rizzo, via Skype, as I said, there in Mesa. And they said, you know, oh, we were watching. And he got very touched saying, I can't believe you guys are watching me dance.
Yeah.
But I heard he did pretty well on it.
Oh, good.
I saw a clip on like Facebook that they post all the highlights. And it seemed okay. It was a little hokey and silly, but I guess that's probably that show.
The whole show is hokey and silly.
There was a clip earlier of Mr. T doing something that I would categorize more as a march than a dance. He was just kind of swinging his arms and marching.
You're going to tell Mr. T how to dance?
No, I thought it was the greatest dance I ever saw. I thought I was watching Gene Kelly. All right, we must take a break. It's mandated by the courts. And then after that, we'll come back and entertain you some more. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, David Ross was on Dancing with the Stars. I can't get a video to play. We're in a new studio, and I don't know. Somebody has sabotaged it.
David Ross, for people who don't know, the Cubs catcher who retired at the end of last year, hit a home run in the decisive Game 7 of the World Series. If you're going to go out, that's the way to go out. You know, finish with a flourish, and he sure did, as the Cubs, of course, beat the Cleveland Indians for the championship. But now he is on Dancing with the Stars. He's one of the contestants. You didn't see it. I didn't see it. But we do have somebody on the line who witnessed last night's festivities.
And her name is Gail. Hi, Gail.
Hi. Finally found you. It took me a while today, but I found you.
Oh, thanks,
I watched
Gail.
Last night. I just generally do not watch the show because it bothers me, but I wanted to see him. And he just looked like he was having so much fun. And they did it to Go Cubs Go.
Oh, they did?
And yes, and it was really cute. He was doing, I think it was a cha-cha, I'm not too sure. But they had him kind of go around the bases. He looked really good. The judges liked him.
Yeah.
And then it was cute when his teammates, it was Anthony Roth.
Anthony Rizzo.
Yeah. And Jake Arrieta, your man, you know,
yeah,
your sing-song guy.
Yeah.
And
the guy that made you famous,
that's
though,
right,
with your song.
That's right.
Yes. That's your first really published song. And they were on with, it looked like their families, and one of the shirts looked like it said Gramps on it, so I don't know if had shirts made for them, but it was really cute. It was really nice, and like I said, I don't watch it, but I did last night, and I voted for it.
You said this show usually scares you, did you say, Gail?
No, it just bores me.
Oh, it bores you?
I would like to see the dancing. I don't care about their backstories. I don't care about how their grandmothers died when they were three. And they've had, you know, I want to watch the dancing. If that's all they did, it would really keep my interest.
Yeah.
But I don't care to hear all the backstories.
Bill and I are watching it right now, and I got to be honest with you, I have not watched this show ever. This is the first clip I've ever seen.
What do you think?
It looks very hokey because they have him up at the plate hitting a baseball, and then he goes to the stand and pulls out this girl who's also in a Cubs uniform, and they're doing a quick step, it's called. And maybe it's because I'm a Sox fan and there's too much Cubs stuff going on.
Wow.
Maybe that's it. But.
Yeah.
A little excited on that.
But he looks like he knows what he's doing. We're watching the clip now, Gail, and he looks like he can dance.
Well, he's just flipping her around.
Yeah.
But he kept his feet. Now, if you go and watch Mr. T,
I saw that clip.
You can see that one, you know, he shouldn't have gotten the points he got. Those were sympathy points.
he was just marching.
Anyway,
That's all he was doing is marching and moving his arms.
He got marching points, you know.
So. I don't know how they score it, but David Ross got 28, Mr. T got 20. Is it out of 30?
40.
Oh, that's not good. Uh-oh. So we don't know if one of them's been eliminated yet, do we? Do we find that out tonight or tomorrow or something?
I don't know. I guess it's the next time. I don't know all the routine. They said at the end that Simone Biles, the gymnast, she was the top.
Yeah.
And David Ross was kind of like in the middle.
Oh, all right.
Of the pack. So he might have a chance to make one more round. I don't understand the getting rid of, but anyway, I wanted to share that. He looked really happy. He was having a good time. But I say I don't like backstories, and I really don't. But they had his little girl on when he was practicing, and she was standing there going, "Go Cubs, go, Cubs, go."
That's
so
nice.
So, you know, that part was cute.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Thank you, Gail.
I found you guys. It takes a while to find you because I'm not a tech-savvy person.
Okay, but wait, why did it take you a while, and why have you found us? Just maybe there are other people. Well, if they can't find us, how are they listening to this?
Okay, I tried your first day, and it took me a while, and I finally got through. And then when they announced your phone number, I wrote it down because I thought I'll never get through on this computer again.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like when I click, it takes me to links that get me back to what's happening on the AM.
The regular WGN.
Right. I have a hard time getting to you. So today I started warming up my iPad 15 minutes ahead of time so I'd have a chance to be ready when I thought you would move. And then you were late, so I thought, okay, I have to give him a few more minutes. I gave you a few more minutes to switch studios. And then it took me a little while longer, and finally, there seems to be a couple places where I can click listen to Bill and Wendy.
Can I suggest something, Gail? Instead of your iPad, try your heating pad. That's what we've been using at my house. It works a lot better.
Oh, thank goodness I called. Now this will solve the problem.
Sure.
You could probably plug one in every room.
Yeah, link it through your heating pad. It works.
Excellent.
All
so
right.
Glad I called.
Thank you,
glad
Gail.
I miss you guys all day, but I'm glad I found you.
You're so nice, Gail. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
She's so sweet.
Very nice lady. Not like that Judy Pilak. Oh.
We have a link at the top of our Facebook page that you can click on. And just to go over it again, if you are on the WGN app, it's stupid for me to explain this because if you're here, you found it.
Right. I agree.
So maybe we should do this on the other show.
I know. Right. Let's just barge into the business lunch.
No, I mean like tomorrow before we come here.
Oh, all right. Yeah, let's do that. Or Gail, our last caller, could go door to door. I don't know what's wrong.
Is that too much to ask?
I don't think we're asking a lot there.
All right, I can't remember the logistics of this. Do we have to break before we do the news, or we can just chit-chat with the lovely Judy Pilak, and then when she's ready, we can start news? That's what we're doing.
That's how we'll play it. Hi, Judy. Nice to see you.
Hello.
Have you acclimated to being back in the U.S. again?
There I am.
There you are.
No, I'm still
on vacation,
still
technically.
In Mexico, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got one foot here, but it's still one foot there.
Yeah. That's quite a straddle. And I say that. I don't say that to a lot of people,
flexible.
But you seem to be. You're like Gumby, Judy Gumby.
Now, I'll tell you, yesterday was very strange for me because typically we were on till 3 o'clock and we would crosstalk with Ro and Anna, and Judy, you would be there, and Violetta and Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of missed you guys yesterday. You not so much because I saw you, but
right.
Ro and Anna, it was kind of weird.
Yeah. That would be strange.
Yeah. Because after us on the stream, there is no other show, so our crosstalks have not been good. Very empty.
Not a lot of response.
None. Next to nothing.
Isn't that the worst?
Yeah.
When you ask questions and like
no one answers,
just hangs there.
Yeah. It's like when I used to crosstalk with Greg Jarrett. Same feeling.
You're meaner on the stream.
I am.
I like it.
A lot more mean on the stream. Yes, I am.
You can be mean. It's the stream.
Yeah, anything can happen.
And why I love her so.
We have a problem, though.
What is the problem?
And they called it puppy love.
Kevin,
that's not Donny Osmond.
I know. All right. That?
Can I just defend Kevin for a moment?
Sure.
This is Paul Anka.
Nothing wrong with Paul Anka,
Paul Anka's pretty good.
But when you think of puppy love.
Go ahead and tell him, Kevin.
What's wrong, Kev?
I just searched it on Spotify here, and I got Paul Anka first.
What?
That can't be right.
Did he write it?
You know what? He may have written.
I bet he did.
His name starts with an A. That's why it was first.
Oh, maybe. Is the internet alphabetical?
I don't think that's how it works, Judy.
Is it really?
Kevin, you need to turn your volume up a little bit. Soft-spoken.
Paul Anka could very well have been the writer for Puppy Love, but when you think about that song and who performs more times than not, Donny Osmond is your go-to,
Jimmy,
right?
Slow dances I did at the Catholic
to Puppy
gym
Love.
To Puppy Love. Come on.
By yourself?
Well, what do you think, Wendy?
No.
I don't think so.
My socks, of course.
Yeah. Paul Anka, we mentioned this on the show a little over a week ago, wrote a bunch of songs. People have no idea. For instance, the Tonight Show theme was written by Paul Anka.
Really?
And he's a very wealthy man because of that. Because every time they played it, he got a residual.
Can we wait like 10 seconds? I can't go on until we hear the Donny Osmond version of it.
Yeah, that's the right version of Puppy Love. No, again, no disrespect to Paul Anka, who I love.
Boy, is this sappy.
I think this is the Megadeth version, Wendy.
Is it live?
Yeah.
Yes.
And they called it Puppy Love.
Give me Paul Anka over this.
This is when GIs would come in and ask a young Judy Pilak to dance.
GIs, did you say?
And Judy would say, sorry, I only dance.
During World War II?
I only dance with American soldiers, but thank you anyway.
I gotta say something. His voice is so high. I mean, he should have hit puberty by how big he is on stage.
Well, he was in his mid-teens at this point, right? Is he 13, 14, 15?
Yeah.
I guess that's early teens.
Yeah, he can still have some time to hit puberty, right? Because his voice is really high.
It's really high.
It's higher than Marie's.
It is higher than Marie's.
What are you saying? I'm Marie.
Wow. Marie's been through the ringer.
I've had a tough time.
Yikes.
Nutrisystem hasn't been good to me. I look great. I feel like crap.
You don't sound country at all.
Angry Marie Osmond. That was startling. The reason I bring this up.
That's high.
Well, he was obviously sucking on helium prior to recording the song.
I swear to you, it sounds like it.
Doesn't it?
That sounded like a weird, I mean, so it was live. I think if you heard the recorded version, it's a little bit different. They must have messed with his voice.
You know, not still pretty that high. Dramatically different. Because I remember the recorded version used to get a little bit of airplay. And it also sounded a little bit squeaky, a little bit high-pitched. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, it was like Michael Jackson, you know.
Yeah.
He was always very,
high voice. Yeah, that's true.
Right. They were little boys. Donnie wasn't so little
Donnie
here,
was already
though.
In his teens during Puppy Love.
He was 13. How do we know?
He was a tall teenager then.
Yeah.
Hi, my name's Donnie.
Do some Mean Maria.
Chris Osmond's had really good
voice. That's my voice, honey.
what is she, a former smoker?
No, I think that's my Judy Bartapinka. I got him confused. God rest her soul.
It's easy to make that mistake.
The reason I bring it up is this. When we switched to the stream a little over a week ago, we realized through talking to our bosses that we could discuss anything. There's no topic too gritty for the stream.
Is this like being on HBO?
I think it's more dangerous, don't you?
No. But I mean, anything goes. So? It's not like being on regular, the FCC doesn't monitor this.
Can I just tell you, Judy, I don't know about you, but Bill and I are professional broadcasters, and whenever we're broadcasting, whether it be on the stream or on terrestrial radio, we
or
do not...
Or door-to-door, eventually.
Oh, Gary Meyer got there first.
Oh, all right.
Oh, Johnny's at that house.
Hi, everybody. It's busy.
But I don't choose, I mean, I guess we could swear, but there's no purpose for it.
What's three? Why?
Right.
Let your listeners swear instead.
That's right. They do.
While listening to us, usually.
They do. Well, because this is unbridled and there's really no censorship, here's the topic that I found that I think needs to be discussed on the stream. We couldn't do this on regular radio. Fun facts about puppies, Wendy. I know some fun facts about puppies that I'd like to share with you.
Do you know how many years I've worked with you and how many years I've been waiting for you to do this?
Yep, today's the day. Fun
I love
facts
puppies.
About puppies. Puppies, for those of you new to the show, are young dogs. All right, here are some fun facts. That's not one of the fun facts. That's just a bonus fact that I
You are so risque with what you say.
I thought you were talking about like Donnie Osmond, a young pup.
No, well, he was a high-pitched young pup with his angry sister that we heard earlier. There are 6.2 million puppies born in the United States every year in comparison to only 4 million babies born in the U.S. every year. So the ratio is about 1.5 to 1 puppies to babies.
All right. Well, I don't like that because people are breeding animals and we don't need, I don't want to slam breeders, but I mean, really, there are enough pets that can be adopted that we could just adopt them.
Right.
Okay, but we're talking about a litter, too, right? I mean, there's a
right.
lot of puppies
That's
born at one time.
That's part of it.
We're up to about 3 or 4 or 5 that you
I
could
guess Judy's right.
Have.
I right. give Judy the point there.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yep.
I know my puppies, having never had one.
Yeah, I think that plays into it, too. You're getting a litter of puppies
right,
as
yeah.
opposed to
Although
normally.
That's an awful lot of puppies.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
And Wendy's probably right with the breeding. It's, you know, the puppy mills. It's terrible.
Right. No puppy mills, and I say no more pepper mills either. I'm tired of people grinding their own pepper.
Exactly. It's why should we?
We must stop. Like humans, Wendy, a fun fact about puppies. Puppies are born without teeth, just like humans. However, they can't hear, see, or smell. Puppies have none of those abilities when they're born. They don't open their eyes or begin to hear until they're 9 to 12 days old. I didn't know that. They can't smell until they're 3 weeks into their birth.
Really? How do they root and find a nipple? You know how many times I've asked you that question?
Yeah, that's a common...
I'm going to go with instinct.
Well, babies aren't instinctual, you know. You have to have nurses help you.
Arrows. You have to draw giant arrows.
What I did, can you just do it?
Yes, that also works. That also works.
Judy would find a stranger in the hospital. Can you just do it?
Right. What about bonding? Bonding? Bonding, schmonding. I don't have time.
I knew they couldn't smell right away.
Yeah.
Or hear. That's weird.
Well, they probably don't travel far either from the mom, right?
Yeah, that's true. They're laying
there. If they can't see or hear or smell.
Right. They're helpless.
Pretty much.
Poor little things.
I know. More helpless than a baby.
That's true. That's very true. Another fun fact about puppies, not much is different between human newborns and puppies when it comes to their sleeping habits. The average human newborn sleeps 16 hours in a 24-hour cycle, while puppies get around 14 hours of sleep.
They do sleep very close.
Very, very close. Lifestyle-wise, when a puppy is first born, 90% of their life is spent sleeping, while the other 10% is spent eating.
Pretty much like me. I like a good nap.
It says here, it's what doctors call the Wendy ratio. I didn't know you even had that trademark.
90 to 10?
90-10. 90% sleep, 10% eating.
That is a perfect life for me.
There's nothing. That's 100%. There's nothing else in there. There's no time for anything else.
Not with puppies.
No.
They don't have anything. They can't see or hear.
I thought they were more active. That seems strange.
Right. There should be some playtime.
Chewing shoes. And
yeah. For like little spurts, right. Though. And then they catch
and then
up
they
on the sleep.
Exhausted. Kind of.
They
again.
Do.
Like Wendy.
Going for a walk.
So
do puppies not go for a walk at all? Are they too young to go for a walk?
You can take them for a walk.
Yeah.
But a walk for a puppy, you shouldn't take them on a mile
right.
Walk. It's probably, you know,
just
out to the end of the driveway.
Yeah. Yep.
I have a fast fact about puppies.
What is that?
Their little tummies, they feel like a Super Ball because they don't have hair on their tummies.
Right.
And it just feels like rubbery.
Yeah. For how long? Does that vary
from
puppy
to puppy?
Until
they grow hair, which is probably a couple weeks.
Yep.
But they're cute. I like touching their little Super Ball bellies. Don't bounce them.
No. That's solid advice.
Or throw them.
Right. Let your puppy sniff things before you do. At 3 weeks old, puppies not only develop a keen sense of smell, but they're also pretty amazing sniffers. The percentage devoted to sniffing smells in a puppy's brain is actually 40% larger than in a human's brain. So they can differentiate smells far, far better than humans can.
Why do you let them sniff it first?
Why would you sniff it at all?
Right. That's true.
What is it here that we're even talking about?
I'm thinking a blanket. I know that some...
Unknown variable. It doesn't say. But anything... You would think anything that a puppy is curious about to sniff, as a human, you'd go, I don't need to... Whatever it is,
right,
it is.
Yeah.
I don't need
what does this chair leg smell like? Well, let me get on my hands and knees. Oh, too much exertion. I have to take a nap.
Right. It seems oddly out of place, doesn't it? When a puppy is small, this is in conjunction with their feeding. When a puppy is small, he or she needs to eat 5 small portions of food every day. Since he was born to nurse, you will need to teach him the proper portion control to avoid gorging his stomach. As he gets older, he can survive on just 1 to 2 larger feedings per day.
Well, maybe someone could teach me that first.
Oh, right. That's valuable information.
I could never teach a puppy that. I don't even know that.
Do they still make... Remember, there was dog food called cycle dog food, and depending on how old your dog was, like if it was a newborn puppy, there was one kind of cycle dog food. If it was a year old, there was another kind, and that kind of followed the dog through its life. Does that still exist?
I think every brand does that now, because you can buy a puppy... chow or a puppy breed.
Oh.
Because I get, for Tiki, I get large dog food because it's bigger pellets or
so
whatever.
So it says that on the package,
it says large,
obviously.
Large dog. Oh. And pretty soon it'll be geriatric dog. So then they do make it for older.
Well, what was in that cycle dog commercial? There was some polite way they said that when they were categorizing the older dog. It was like
seniors.
It was seniors.
Come on.
I think it was seniors.
You need different nutrients, and they're, you know, I have a big dog, so his joints, we were thinking about this. We got him when he was 2. He's going to be 11 in May, and big dogs don't live that long. So then it's like my kids are already.
Right.
Like, what happens if I go away to college? Is he going to still be there? And I'm like, sure.
No, you have to tell him that farm story. There's a farm he wants to live on.
I
am not
where all
Illinois.
His siblings are.
You know me. Am I ever going to use the farm story?
When Jim dies. I think when your husband dies, you go, Daddy's working on a farm in Carbondale.
He always wanted to milk the cows.
Right.
No, he won't be back ever. He loves it there.
Why are you so intrigued about puppy facts? You're not a puppy guy.
Wendy, I've been saying for years, we have to devote some time on the show to puppy facts because people, they want to know more about puppies. We need to provide this information. It's a public service.
What was the dog food commercial where the dog would chase the, I guess
the
it was Chuck Wagon. Yeah.
Yeah, and it would always end up under the sink.
Yeah, and the dog would just be barking.
Right.
Commercials were great back then, weren't they?
How weird was that? Because the dog, you could tell, it'd see it in the dog's eyes. He wanted to eat those ranchers.
Oh, yeah.
I got to catch that giant
cabinet
Chuck Wagon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about that in a long time.
That's what we do. We like to refresh everyone's memories from 50 years ago.
Right. Part of our jobs. Puppies grow pretty fast when it takes them time to get used to their, and it takes them time to get used to their bodies. Just like a human who's trying to walk, puppies, that's what we call them at the house. Puppies can be a bit clumsy, a bit more common in larger breeds due to their long legs
and
big paws.
And big feet. It's really cute to watch. Sorry.
They don't get any kind of footing, right?
And they're just clumsy. They trip over their big paws sometimes.
Yeah. social skills. Puppies are in the womb with a litter, as Judy pointed out earlier. They love to be surrounded by other animals and humans. When they're left alone, they get lonely. Some chase their tails and some look for trouble. When your puppy is young, make sure to spend a lot of time with the little guy and put him in social situations whenever you can.
That is good advice. I got to take
TV. That's kind of sad when you think about it. They spend all that time in the womb with their
right. And then all of a
sisters
sudden,
and brothers, and then, yeah.
All by themselves.
All by themselves.
And
yes.
Then at 6 weeks of age, they're split up. Although cats are born in multi-litters, too, and they don't want to be around anybody.
Yeah.
They're very independent.
Is it because all dogs
there
are cats?
There are no fun facts about cats. They're just facts.
Scary facts about cats.
Scary facts, right.
Is it because dogs and cats are on fertility drugs, and I just don't know it? Is that what's going on?
I'm sure that's
because you always get huge litters of dogs and cats. Is there ever? Can you ever just have one dog or cat born? I guess with dogs that could happen.
There are
right?
no only,
I don't think
only
so.
Cats, like only child.
Just
no,
one.
Just there's yeah. Unless they all die.
Yeah.
All right. You are really a bunch of
fun
levity
there.
That's so fun. Quite honestly,
but cats. I've said this on the show before, and we always get very angry texts and email. Cats spend most of their day plotting your death.
They look at you and go, how could I kill that person? No, they are just so
they're
removed.
Just independent.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'll come
They look
up,
at you like you're an idiot.
Right.
Not I want to kill you, but I will kill you, but just watch out.
But you don't think any time of the day is spent going, if I needed to take that person down, what would I have to
they can't. They're
do?
Too little.
Yeah.
There's no way they can take you out.
Yeah.
Unless they could probably, like, lay on top of your face when you're sleeping or something.
Now, was that a myth or was that reality?
Because
I remember
they do like to sleep close to your face.
That was a wives' tale that when you had a baby,
oh,
if
right.
you had a cat, it would
cat
suck the breath out of the baby. Which I'll tell you, as a first-time parent with a cat.
Yeah.
I bought one of those crib tent that there was netting that went on top of
for that reason?
I did.
Wow.
Because I said, why should we chance it, honey? You know, when it's the first time you're having
like
a kid.
Kind of like the exorcism you guys were talking about earlier. You know, we don't really believe it, but it could
just
happen.
Just in case.
Right. And now, can't you picture a cat going up there and sucking the
yeah.
blood out of your baby's...
Yes.
Well, that's why I had the crib tent is what it was called.
Come on.
I bought it for... you know what it was? I didn't want the cat to go into
in
the crib.
At all, right.
I guess I didn't really... think about sucking the breath out. And then when the kids got older, the kids could not crawl out of the crib. So it kind of, it was like their first prison cell.
Yeah.
It was a doofer.
Did you see on Facebook, there's a time-lapse footage of two twins. They're 2 years old. I guess there would only be two twins, but they're 2 years old. And there's a time-lapse photography and with the lights out. The dad puts them to bed. They climb out of the crib like 10 times.
And they go nuts.
They start doing somersaults. They take all the pillows out from the couch and they're doing somersaults and they're all over the room. And then they get back in bed because the dad comes in and the mom comes in. It's like, you get back in bed.
Right.
As soon as the parents walk out, the kids are out doing somersaults again and they wear themselves out and they both go back. It's so funny. You'll see two cribs or two twins in one crib for a second, like sitting there chatting. And then they'd go in the other kid's crib and then they wore themselves out. They each went into their own crib. And went to bed.
So without the camera, the parents would never have any
You'd
idea
never
that
know
none
that.
Of this goes on. Wow.
It's so cute if you find that. It's just twins active in the middle of the night. It just cracks me up.
It's very
I'm sure
funny.
My kids do that.
Without your knowledge.
I'd hear noises and I was like, whatever.
See?
It was a big noise.
Don't Another reason
me.
For the crib tent.
Right.
My kids were trapped.
Buckled down on the sides. I mean, couldn't you just push it off? It was a little net.
No, it was it connected to the top of the crib with Velcro, and then you'd have to unzip it. Ultimately,
wow.
Dylan figured out how to stick his hand out to unzip it.
And was this sold as a cat protector, or how was it worded on the box?
Or how to make your crib a prison.
I don't recall.
Either way, I would have bought it.
Did you dress him in a black and white striped jumper?
I do like black and white.
Did he have his milk bottle and just he's rattling it across the side of the crib?
Put your hands behind your back.
Come on, you screws. I need out of here.
Yeah, see, it's a crib tent. They still
sell make them.
Yeah, it just goes, this is not a good picture of it, but you would, you can look up crib tent and find them. And it just is on top of the crib so the kid can't escape.
So that's their selling point when they're trying to sell these is it's so your baby can't get out.
Yeah.
It's not to keep away animals
and
mosquitoes.
Yeah, because I had a cat and I didn't want the cat going in there.
Yeah. That's admirable.
It was a good idea.
You did that with both of the boys?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it one of those things you learn your lesson?
But when did they get out? How long was their sentence?
I got to tell you, Michael would still be in his crib right now if I didn't let him out. That's Michael. He's 17 now, but he's just that kind of kid. Dylan, I think, as soon as he figured out how to stand up in the crib, he figured out a way to stick his arm through and unzip it and then crawl out.
Yeah. Crafty.
Yeah, he is.
Good for him.
Sheila's on the line. Hi, Sheila.
Hi, Wendy. How are you?
Good. Did you get a crib tent?
No, I didn't get a crib tent because I was afraid that the cat would rip it apart. So we put a wooden screen door on the baby's room. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to say on the crib.
No, not on the crib. It was on the baby's room. So, you know, it was one of those lightweight, old kind of wooden ones you would get for a cabin.
Yeah.
And we just put it on the bedroom, and that way you could still see in, the baby could see out, but the cat couldn't get in.
Yeah, because it would just slam shut like those old screen doors did.
Yeah.
Right.
Genius.
Yeah. And you could hear everything because it's a screen.
Oh, yeah.
Should have sold those.
I didn't want to close the door.
So would you recommend that?
We got it at, you know, like at Menards or someplace like that.
Menards!
That was Wendy, for the record.
That's the Menards guy who's no longer with us, except in cartoon form.
Yeah. So you would recommend these, Sheila, right? That's a good way to keep things safe?
Screen door worked for us. Yeah, it worked for us.
Would you say is it better than, say, an electric fence around the crib? Would that be better? Way better. Okay.
Yeah. Because we would have walked into the electric fence in the middle of the night.
Oh, true.
That would have been not a good deal.
Nope. All right.
Not a good deal.
Well, thank you for calling. Right. Did you have trouble finding us on the stream, Sheila?
No. In fact, when you first went on last week, I was kind of getting a kick out of it because people were calling in and they all sounded older, like, I'm in my 60s, and I thought, well, if older people can find it, how come the younger people can't find it?
Yes.
Well, we're glad you found us.
And I live in Dallas, so.
Right on.
I found it all the way from there, yeah.
Excellent.
Well, thank you, Sheila.
Okay. Have a good day.
Take care, Sheila. You too.
We're going to be international radio stars pretty soon.
You guys know no borders.
No. Border free.
Border free.
And in
duty
honor
free, border free.
Of our Dallas listeners, tomorrow, fun facts about cactuses. So that's coming up tomorrow.
Did she say Denver?
No, I thought she said Dallas.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of an omelet because it's only 90% sleeping, 10% eating, and I'm getting hungry.
Right. Judy, thanks for hanging out.
Absolutely.
A quick break, a little bit more show. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thank you, voice of Steve Bertrand. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. On the internet portion of our show, the bonus hour, as the kids like to call it, we're thrilled that you're listening. Please continue to do so. We've got another one of these planned for tomorrow.
Is it really a bonus?
I guess you have to define the word bonus. Bonus has such a positive connotation to it.
We're not delivering.
No. You know what we didn't get to today? And I really wanted to discuss this, but we're fresh out of time. One of Hollywood's biggest dope smokers is giving it up.
I saw that, and I don't believe him. You can let go.
Can I say?
Yeah.
Woody Harrelson, actor extraordinaire, started out on Cheers and then branched off into major motion pictures, is one of the guys synonymous with smoking the dope in Hollywood, and now he says those days are past him. He's not doing it anymore.
I don't believe him. Usually people that smoke weed continue to smoke weed.
Mm-hmm.
It's like their glass of wine.
I bet it, yeah. Okay. You know, that's the perfect way to describe it.
People who smoke pot, like, do it till their brain is numb. Like, they don't do it from the time they get up.
But I think you could make the argument with Woody that it may have been softening him just a tad. You've seen him in interviews, right?
Yeah, but he seems always been like that, hasn't he?
Yeah, but I sometimes wonder how much of that was brought on by all the dope smoking. Don't you think? There has to be some correlation. He's a little bit of a loose soul. The picture of him where he was announcing, he was at some press thing, and I don't know exactly what the event was, but he was fairly well-dressed, but not wearing any shoes. He just had socks on, like he had forgotten to put shoes on.
He lives in Hawaii.
Oh, does he?
So why do you even need shoes? And they got Maui Waui there, so you know.
Right. I know.
He's 55 years old and looks much older.
Now, I didn't think he was even 55. I thought he was younger than that, but he is 55 years old. It's a great story. You know, without, if you look at his career trajectory, he got the job on Cheers because Nicholas Calasanchro died. So that's very sad, but they found somebody, you know, to play the new bartender. And then that led into all kinds of great movie roles for him. He's made a really good career out of a guy who really was in the right place at the right time. So good for him.
He was perfect as Woody. Coach, a tough act to follow.
Oh, yeah.
And what do you think Woody Harrelson's best movie is? Because I think it's Natural Born Killers. Mm, he was really good in
probably,
that.
Yeah.
Because we were so used to him being just such a goofy, nice guy, and he was so... He was a bad seed in that Natural Born Killers.
All right. So you know the story about why he got that role, right?
Because
Until then...
But refresh my memory.
Up until he was in Natural Born Killers, he played Woody on Cheers. And he may have had a small role or two in some movies, but nothing consequential. So when Oliver Stone was casting this, he knew the backstory about Woody's real-life story. His dad...
was a ne'er-do-well?
Beyond a ne'er-do-well, his dad was a Texas-based, what they believe, there's no way to say this without saying it, so I'll say this. A lot of people believe that the Kennedy assassination was pulled off by Woody Harrelson's father.
It was Ted Cruz's dad.
Well, Ted Cruz's dad was definitely involved.
Did they know each other?
Donald Trump blew the cover off of that. We weren't supposed to know that, but now we do.
Woody Harrelson's dad did not have anything to do with
his
that.
His dad was an excellent marksman who did side jobs for the mafia, and they said if they were looking to do a hit in Texas in the 60s, in the early 60s, it would have been Woody Harrelson's dad.
That's so Oliver Stone to say that.
Well, he built off that when he was casting Woody Harrelson, because like I said, Woody was a goofball actor at that point.
Yeah.
And then he knew the backstory about potentially what his dad may or may not have been involved in and said, yeah, that's the guy. We got to get that guy.
We got to start interviewing you more.
All right.
Because I like the behind the scenes Bill Left stories.
Yeah.
In Bill's mind. We got to call it something a little catchier, but I kind of
we'll
like it.
We'll find a name for it. All right.
I never heard
I'm
that.
I'm available. Yeah. How about that?
I thought he was like a loose cannon murderer type based on what Woody played in Natural Born Killers. That's what I thought.
Well, that character is an amalgam of a bunch of guys that, you know, were around during that era. So, but he did a great job in it. But no more dope smoking for Woody Harrelson, everybody.
Today.
That's right. That's his statement today. This can be updated at any time today or tomorrow.
Right.
Actually, I'm just going to stay here. Stay with me. And if there's an update, I'll just report it.
Right? All Woody all the time.
Yeah.
Bill and Wendy are here 24 hours a day on the stream. We'll just break in to the regularly scheduled programming
WGN.
In case there's announcements.
Woody got news. That's us. All right. That's it for today. There's no more show for the rest of today, but we'll be back tomorrow with all kinds of more fun stuff.
Who's up next, Bill?
That would be nobody, Wendy. There's nobody else on the special stream but me and you.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
We gotta get some people here.
If you want a show on the stream, 312-235-2525. Again, that number, 312-235-2525. Submit a tape.
It Listener Matt be... already did submit
Matt,
a tape.
Matt's got a show coming up on weekends. the tape must be 8 to 10 hours long. Nothing shorter, nothing longer.
Who's going to listen to that?
I'll listen.
I'll be sleeping.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.